month. Our theme music from Joe Cocker on Mental Health Radio. Take it from us. Track called Respect Yourself. I'm host of Mental Health Radio, Sheldon Brown, and the show is brought to you and funded by Ember Wellbeing Trust. Now, we're going to start our show today a little differently. Our guest is going to read one of her poems from a collection called A Different Me.
Thanks, Sheldon. I was an angry child. I was not happy. I was filled with self-hatred from such a young age. I didn't like myself, who I had become. I hated the way I acted, that I always got into trouble. Then in my teens, I felt misunderstood, not loved, not cared for. I kept my feelings all hidden away. I came across as angry, but deep down inside I was incredibly distressed and sad. A sad young soul I was, felt all alone in it. I was ashamed, embarrassed about the things I was experiencing. I put on the happy face at school. My parents would talk to my teachers. They would say how well behaved I was, how lovely I was. I had a double life. I didn't know how to manage the anger, the frustration, the distress I felt. I would shout, swear, abuse my parents and siblings. I loved them all so much, but I was experiencing things that others weren't. And I realized it. I couldn't put it into words, so I put it into being angry. My anger was actually a big, huge cry for help. Looking back, those times make me sad. I was so unhappy, so distraught, but no one could help me. I was alone, or so I thought.
Well, that's a poem from A Different Me, which is a collection of poems written by our guest today, Chloe Shaw. It's a fabulous poetic chronology of Chloe's path into schizophrenia and the rise to a different me, the title of this collection. Today we will intersperse Chloe's story with some of her poems, which are covered under separate titles. Some of those titles read like this: Writing is My Outlet. The second title is Warts and All. Every Day is the third. The Way It Is, the fourth. And the last, entitled Journey, under which are the words: The key to survival, I believe, is hope. Let's hear from Chloe about her poetry collection and her mental health experience, which has led to this collection. Welcome, Chloe, to Mental Health Radio. Take it from us. We've adopted a slightly different approach today.
Yes, we have.
So you have your mother here, Susan,
yes,
as a support person.
Yes, she's a fantastic support person.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful. And you have other support, don't you? You're associated with Mind and Body Consultants, and, of course, that's where we met at the 20th.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
It was lovely, sitting at the same table.
Right, at the 21st birthday of Mind and Body.
And I happened to have a poetry book with me.
You did, so I had the opportunity to think about that and to read some of the poems, and the result is this interview today.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, so is this your first ever radio interview?
It is. It's a new thing. It's quite exciting, actually, yeah. Unless you're going to be mean to me, Sheldon. But.
Well, I don't think I have a reputation of being mean. most people say that I make it easy, but
good.
Yeah, but in that introductory poem, that's one of your favourites, is it?
Yes.
And so what does that capture, Chloe?
It just captures the past, what led up to the diagnosis of schizophrenia and what led up to the mental illness and the raw experience I had as a younger person. Just kind of explains it a bit and shows the progress that I took along my journey towards, yeah.
Yeah. You refer to anger a lot in that first. I have been regarded as being an angry man at times,
yeah,
in my earlier life, and I guess I've learned that anger is probably one of the least acceptable emotions,
yes,
in New Zealand.
And everybody has anger, you know, and I think when you're struggling with something, you do get a bit angry, and it comes out when you're struggling, and that has to be okay. There's got to be a way of processing that and not acting out on it, but just processing and managing it, you know.
So that anger was associated with what, confusion and frustration?
Yes,
about
absolutely.
How you were?
Yeah, just confusion and not feeling understood, because I didn't even understand what was going on with me, you know, let alone my family, you know. I just knew there was something wrong, but I didn't know what.
So how did you go about trying to find out what was wrong?
I started talking to my parents about seeing a counsellor. But that never happened. But what happened in the end was I was forced into having support, basically. You know what I mean? And from there, I've had support. I first got unwell at age 16 with depression and anxiety mainly. I woke up one morning and just at the end of the school year and just couldn't stop crying. And I spent the summer at the beach with my family, where we have a batch, and I just spent the whole time crying, just not being able to do anything. And I isolated myself from my friends, from family, from any kind of enjoyment. I was just depressed, really, really down.
So how do you think that was linked to the diagnosis of schizophrenia?
I think it was the starting point. So
a little bit of a hint, perhaps, of...
Yeah, a hint of what was about to happen. I think I had a progressive illness that started off as depression and anxiety and slowly progressed and progressed into psychosis. And then psychosis got worse and worse. That led to the schizophrenia.
And one of the things that I learned very early on in my career in mental health, which started about 13 years mm-hmm. ago, was that that schizophrenia hits younger people around about the mid-20s, usually coincides with maybe study, pressure at university. How much of an understanding do you have of all that?
Well, it was kind of different for me. I wasn't under any pressure or stress. I was still struggling with depression from age, you know, up to 19 and 20. And, you know, I just kind of existed. I lived at home. My mum cared for me every day. She's a star. And I just kind of flatlined, you know, and just didn't do much with my life. And
How did you differentiate between sort of standard teenage feelings? I mean, I had quite a lot of anxiety, particularly if I was going to date a girl.
Yes.
Or do an examination or play a game of rugby. I had that anxiety, but I never sort of identified it as an issue. Were you able to draw a line between being a teenager and this anxiety and depression?
Well, yeah, I could a bit. But what was interesting was when I was admitted to child and family unit, they were very cautious about not giving me a diagnosis, because they understood that quite a bit of what went on was just normal teenage behaviour.
Right.
And what teens go through nowadays, you know, anxiety and depression are so prevalent. And so they didn't want to make it worse than it was, you know what I mean?
Sort of give you a label that may
yeah.
not be justified.
And well, the label was borderline personality disorder. But they said, you know, that borderline personality disorder can look like just being a teenager.
Right.
So they were very hesitant about giving me their diagnosis. But it still was on their minds.
So how did you feel about sort of a label? Did you think that was going to be helpful or a hindrance?
Well, to be honest, I don't like the label borderline personality disorder. But with the schizophrenia diagnosis and the psychosis, it feels like it explains what goes on for me and gives me an understanding and knowledge about what truly happens. And
none of those labels are particularly kind, though,
no,
are they?
You know?
And I mean, this is where I think that the mental health system or the psychiatric system, not only in New Zealand but internationally, has let us down, because they're very unkind, aren't they? The word schizophrenia sounds so frightening.
Yes.
Personality disorder, you know, like it puts us in a sort of a straitjacket, really.
It does, and it's so sad. I've had so much stigma and discrimination because of my diagnosis. And if you put the paranoid in front of it, it's even worse. People think of you as a murderer or a criminal or a lunatic, or, you know, there's so much stigma out there.
So the paranoid goes with the schizophrenia, and is that the diagnosis that was eventually emerged?
There's a bit of a disagreement between the hospital
right.
and the community team. The community team say I have paranoid schizophrenia, but I think the doctors in the hospital think it's not just schizophrenia, but it's schizophrenia. It's a very atypical schizophrenia. That's why it's been so hard to get the label.
Right.
Not that I want a label, but you know what I mean, to get the right words. I don't have a typical schizophrenia.
But it does allow us, when we get that label, to move forward and to understand a bit more about our
Experiences,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have a poem, Chloe, that captures some of this?
Yes, I do, Sheldon. This is it. I had a great life, or so it seemed. Lots of friends, excelled at school, athletics. No warning of what was about to happen. I woke up just one day crying. Couldn't stop. Spent my summer holiday sitting on the couch crying. Stopped sleeping, cried all night long. Isolated myself from friends. Ignored texts, phone calls. Went to the doctor, prescribed pills, didn't do much. No one understood the tears, the distress, the sadness. It was foreign to us all. Looking back though, there were signs. I put on a facade at school that I had it all together, put all my energy into study. Focused I was, focused towards the extreme. I stopped attending church, hanging out with friends, doing my beloved athletics. I had a strong self-hate, didn't like the way I behaved, the things I said in anger. There was frustration, misunderstanding. Came across as difficult, oppositional, ruined the family. Wished I could change, not be the person I hated. Guilt filled my mind, filled me up inside. Felt like the poison in my family. I didn't know the path forward, the way out. I was stuck, alone, in a very dark place. No one could reach me, completely, utterly alone.
Well, thank you, Chloe. That's another poem from A Different Me by our guest today on Take It From Us, Chloe Shaw. Well, let's take a music break, and today we're playing JJ Cale, and the first track is Call Me the Breeze.
well. Ain't no change in the weather. Ain't no change in me.
Radio, take it from us, and I'm host Sheldon Brown, and we're talking today to Chloe Shaw, who I met at the Mind and Body Consultants 21st birthday, and Chloe was kind enough to give me a collection of poetry called A Different Me, a collection of poems by Chloe Shaw. And how can people access your collection of poems, Chloe?
Well, I have an email address. It's chloespoetrybook@gmail.com.
Right. What's the response been to your poetry book?
Blows my mind. Seriously, fantastic. Uh-huh. I have had people from all walks of life have approached and said how wonderful it is, how moving it is, how brave I am to be so honest and open. I've had friends and family read it, even close friends and family read it and say they've learnt more about my experience, what I go through every day. It's been phenomenal. And I sent a copy to Jacinda.
Wow.
Yes, I did. And she gave me a lovely letter back.
And what did she say? What did the Prime Minister say in that letter?
She said she wanted to share it with others and that I was very brave and that it was good. The poetry was good for helping people feel less isolated and alone in their journey. Also sent one to the Minister of Health and the Mental Health Commissioner, and both responded very positively and lovely.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful to hear that.
Yes.
Have you got a Facebook page where you promote the book? Or
no, I don't.
You don't?
Not at this stage.
So if people are interested in the book, they should get in touch with you at what? Well, just give us
chloespoetrybook@gmail.com.
Yeah, so what was the next step in your journey?
So I spent... Well, when I went down to Ashburn Clinic in Dunedin when I was 17, and I was supposed to spend 6 weeks down there getting on top of things, getting better. I ended up being there 19 months, and it was quite horrible, really. It was a really hard place to be for me. I know I don't want to be negative about Ashburn Clinic, but for me, it did not work. But it works for so many people, and it's a fantastic place.
We talked at the birthday celebration of, yes, Mind and Body Consultants about Ashburn. I also went to Ashburn expecting to be there only 6 months. And
yes.
6 weeks, I'm sorry, 6 weeks. And I ended up there 11 months. That was,
yes,
probably 13 years ago now.
I think mine was 2002.
What was it?
I think I beat you.
Well, I think it's quite a controversial place, Ashburn Clinic.
Yes.
But I think mean, they, in fairness to them, they did identify a weakness that I had in terms of my dependency on things, and they worked on developing my independence, and I think that that has been a major foundation stone for me.
What was the good thing about Ashburn is they did notice the psychosis starting to appear, but they felt, I think, they weren't equipped to really deal with psychosis as easily as they deal with other types of mental health issues. Yeah.
Well, Ashburn does have a focus of creativity, doesn't it?
Yes,
art,
it does.
And
music and
that's right.
All these
Did
things.
You write any poetry when you were at Ashburn?
No, I've only written poetry in the last year and a half.
Right.
It started with I was in hospital and a nurse suggested I write down what I was feeling. And it just went from there. It just blew up, you know. I just started writing, and I was writing prolifically. I was writing up to 5 poems a day. So I've written over 150 poems, and in the book, I think is just over 150, maybe. I'm not quite sure, but
so. How was that for your mental health and how you felt, not only your own health, but how you felt about yourself?
It's given me confidence, you know, to think that, oh my gosh, I can publish a book, a poetry book, and people are finding it amazing, and it's just making me feel incredible and excited and right. So pleased.
Well, it's a very lovely book too. It's got some wonderful artwork. Who did the artwork on the cover for you?
A graphic designer from Fused.com, their printing company.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So how did you meet with them, or how did you identify them?
So my parents were friends with the owners from church. So we went and we talked and we planned and they came up with that, and it was fantastic.
Well, it's a beautiful looking cover. And
it is, isn't it?
It's nicely bound, and it's very, you know, I must recommend it to anybody who might be listening today. Well, you know, what strategies did you adopt to address these new challenges that you were facing? And I guess I'd like to ask, what age were you at when, you know, this blackness and the dark hole and being in hospital, what age were you then?
Well, the black hole started at 16 and progressed and continued for a number of years. And then as I got a bit older in my 20s, I started to hear voices. And I didn't understand what was going on at the time. I knew there was something weird going on, but I didn't understand it. I would have these sleepless nights where I just couldn't sleep. And no medication would touch it. And I was just, after looking back, I was just being tormented. I like to say it's like a horror movie when I hear voices. I have different types of voices, but I have the voices that I call the ultimate voices. And they're the voices that are just so intense and so awful that I can't function. And they're just so debilitating and horrible and nasty and derogatory and really hard to live with. And so I find that really difficult managing them. But I am getting on top of them. I'm doing really well, and thanks for a lot of support from a lot of people. But yes, it's been a bit of a journey.
So what are some of the strategies? And you say that you're getting on top of these really nasty voices.
Mm.
What sort of strategies are you using to...
Well, I have quite a few different strategies, actually. I've just discovered mindfulness, which is fantastic. I highly recommend it to anyone out there with anxiety, depression, psychosis even. You know, it's getting in touch with yourself, and I do a body scan every day and 3-minute breathing spots, and the breathing is amazing. It just can take you from really anxious to calm and, you know, a few breaths, you know. And I do every day I do a body scan, and it's just amazing. And what's amazing is when I do my body scan, I don't hear voices.
Wow.
which is pretty cool.
Do you listen to a CD when you do the body scan?
I do it online from my phone.
Right.
Yeah, there's a website that I was told about in a mindfulness group, and I just stream it off there.
Well, that was one of the life-saving strategies that was given to me, was a CD. I had to go and see somebody at Lifeline several years ago when Framework, which has now become Ember, yeah, of course, but Framework was only about 200 metres away from the Lifeline office. And I was in a bit of a precarious state, and I went to Lifeline and did some counselling with a gentleman there.
Nice.
And he gave me a CD, a mindfulness CD, and on it was that body scan. And that is a real supportive strategy for me. And
absolutely. I find it fantastic.
How do you feel about just trying to live in the now and the present?
I find that one a bit harder, but I do try really hard, especially when I, because the voices like to come when I go, exercise is like my drug, right? Like, I'm an exercise fanatic, and I know how good it makes me feel, but the problem is the voices sometimes come when I go for a run.
Right.
So using mindfulness skills then is really powerful and helpful, to not let them take control and just continue on my run or my walk or whatever I'm doing.
So you're a bit of a running junkie?
I'm not running long distances yet, but I aim to. I'm working my way up there. I love it.
So when did you start running?
Maybe about a year ago, yeah.
Was that a recommendation from somebody, or is it just something that you took on?
Something I took on. I was a runner at school, but I was a sprinter. So I wasn't a long-distance runner, but I just picked it up and thought, this is really cool, and it makes me feel good. And it's better than a pill sometimes, you know? Better than a pill. Those endorphins are amazing.
Well, I say a walk is the best antidepressant
that
you can get indulged in.
I would highly recommend it to all your listeners, to get out there and get exercising.
Well, it's certainly been one of my strategies: rugby, surfing, golf,
nice,
tennis, and
you got it all.
Well, I don't know that I've got it all, but as I've got older, I guess had to adapt to my sporting interests, but I still play tennis, and I think to get those endorphins going and to have some social contact as well, it's very important. What are your goals in terms of running?
I'd like to get up to 10K and then just see where I'm at. So, yeah, that's the goal at the moment.
Do you have a palm at all about these new strategies or these exercises and that sort of thing? Let's, while Chloe finds that, let's take another music break, and we're playing JJ Cale on Mental Health Radio. Take It From Us today, and this track is called Call the Doctor.
doctor and tell him I'm down. I call the doctor and tell him I'm down.
Well, this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us, and I'm host Sheldon Brown. No technician Declan Curran today because we are pre-recording this a day before broadcast day. We're talking today to Chloe Shaw about her collection of poems called A Different Me, and Chloe and I have been talking about the benefits of exercise, and Chloe's got a poem here to capture that.
Yes, I do. This is my poem. I love to walk. Fast walk I do. Walking to the tops of mountains all over Auckland pushes me. I'm panting, puffing away. It's all worth it, though, to feel the endorphin rush. Better than drugs, better than a chill pill. Can change how I feel in an instant. Can go from anxiety to peace all in one walk. I like to push it, to really push myself. Hard exercise, what I love. I can feel my muscles working hard, building up, more toned. It's a struggle at times to keep the weight off, to not get a belly. Those antipsychotics make you so hungry. Others don't understand it, never experienced it. I want to be fit. Don't want to fall into the clozapine trap. But it can be extremely hard. Stigmatizing sometimes. Asked, are you pregnant? When are you due? It's humiliating, soul destroying, to say the least. Feel bad about myself, not trying hard enough. Have always been fit, not me, not me, to carry around this extra weight. So this is why I walk. I walk up mountains to beat the bulge. The views from the top, amazing. Added bonus. Today, looking at the vista around me, it's stunning on a clear summer's day. I capture the moment, looking out over the city. I relax, enjoy, bask in the morning sun. Up here, nothing else matters. None of the stresses, strains of having to stress matter. I'm on top of the world. Here I am.
Oh, lovely. That's a lovely way of capturing the benefits of exercise.
Absolutely.
So with this and walking, enthusiasm for exercise and walking and running and that sort of thing, have you been able to modify your medication at all, or is that not something you can consider?
Not right at the moment. I am on a medication that I need to come off. And, yes, that's going to be a New Year project.
Right.
It's going to be quite intense, but, yeah. But basically, you know, I've had a stable couple of months, and we want to keep the stability and not rock the boat too much, I think.
So it sounds as though you've got a balance between sort of natural, like mindfulness and exercise and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I find all that kind of thing so useful. And I also have other strategies, you know, like distraction is a fantastic one for me. With music, music in my ears, turn it up really loud and just go into my own little world. And watching a movie or watching television for a while is really helpful as well.
Well, what about connection and contact with your peers?
Yeah, well, in the earlier years, when I was just kind of existing and I started hearing voices and becoming psychotic, I didn't really have many friends at all. I was very reliant on my mother. We were a team. And I was just too depressed to have friends.
But now, looking at today, because clearly isolation is not beneficial to our mental health, is it?
No.
So having connection with others and maybe like-minded people who understand our mental health vulnerability is important.
Yes, it's very good. I'm very blessed now with a lot of friends. I've met some really interesting and inspirational people over my journey. I don't know if I should name a few. But, some really inspirational people, and they've become friends and support workers as well. And I have my own group of friends. I found church very helpful. I'm a Christian. And going to church and meeting people there and making connections and things like that.
Yeah, what sort of music do you listen to?
Music, I'm a whole mixture. I'm very, an eclectic mix is what's on my phone.
Right.
From worship music to pop music to old school music, I'm a bit of a different one.
Right. So having a faith, is that anchoring?
Absolutely. I would not be here without it. It gives me hope that I could have a better future, that I don't have to be unwell all the time.
Well, hope is a little word, isn't it? A four-letter word which has got so much meaning. How have you sort of cultivated that feeling of hope?
Well, probably I rely on other people to help me hold the hope mostly, especially when I'm in the dark, dark place. My family are just so amazing. My parents, we call each other Team Shaw, me and my mum and my dad.
Wonderful.
And, you know, when I'm in hospital and in the darkest, most acutely unwell space, they come and visit every day. And you all know, probably like me, that probably 90% of people in the hospital would not have visitors.
Right.
Which is very sad, I think.
Well, of course, when one goes down to Ashburn, which is in Dunedin, it makes it very difficult for people to visit because it's a long distance, and that can be very isolating. But I guess it is a community there, isn't it? So
yes.
There's the opportunity to meet with friends and go to town together.
Yes.
And all that.
I was meaning more of the Te Whitawhera.
Right.
Where I've actually had more than 30 admissions there over the last 16 years.
Right.
Which is quite a few.
Yeah.
And just there, you know, you see it's a hard place to be, you know, with all these acutely unwell people, and it's very, can be quite frightening and scary at times.
Well, it was a very famous professor at Auckland University, John Reid, who you may or may not have heard of.
Yes, I
but
have.
He questioned the whole principle of putting people together in acute psychiatric units.
Okay.
Because, he said everyone is unwell, and the environment in those hospitals is a bit like a locked environment, isn't it? It's a bit prison-like at times.
Yes.
Te Whetū Tower, I've visited people there, and there are bars, even though there's an opportunity to get some fresh air. I mean, it's not the most conducive, not like home.
No, not at all. When I get really unwell and end up in Te Whetū Tower, it's always a shame because we always, you know, along with, I've been going to Manaaki House, Community Mental Health Centre for probably the last 16 years all the time. And we always try, me and my family and the people there always try to keep me in the community when I'm unwell, to keep me around my family, my friends. Like, we try really hard to not put me in hospital because of that reason.
Is creativity also sort of one of your foundation stones for being well, staying well?
Well, actually, I love to bake. It's my happy place. I actually have a small home baking business. It's quite cool.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, just baking is just my happy place. I can just, if I feel stressed or overwhelmed, I just go and I bake.
And what do you bake?
I bake all sorts of things, from cookies to brownie to cupcakes to muffins to loaves to
And when you say you have a small business, how does the business side of it come into your baking interest?
Well, it's called Gorgeous Goodies by Chloe. Just putting it out there, guys.
Gorgeous Goodies by Chloe. How can anybody access the Gorgeous Goodies from Chloe?
On Facebook and Instagram.
Right, so you have a Facebook page for this, but not for your collection of poetry called A Different Me.
No, I haven't got onto that one yet, unfortunately.
Right. So when did you set up this business?
A couple of years ago, yeah. It's been pretty cool.
Did Mum and Dad help you in terms of setting up the business?
Not really. I think I pretty much did it myself. I just got some business cards from Vistaprint and got labels and got boxes and just started baking and posting on Neighbourly and...
Wow, posting on Neighbourly.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm quite an active Neighbourly.
It's a great little place, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. In fact, I was looking for a bathroom vanity at the weekend and I just happened to stumble on Neighbourly and there was one and I got
Fantastic.
In touch with this guy and he said, oh, unfortunately it's been taken, so I went off and spent a whole lot of money on bathroom vanity. Oh. And then he got back in touch with me and he said, oh, are you still interested?
Oh, no.
And it was free. But I'd spent $600 or $700. But anyway, I think I've got what I needed and one of the cabinets is still in the back of my car. Too heavy to get out. But let's take another music break on Mental Health Radio. Take it from us. We're talking to Chloe Shaw about her anthology. Do you call it an anthology?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, collection of poems called A Different Me. So we're playing JJ Cale today, and this track has special significance for me because I have been estranged from my eldest son who lives in Sydney, and I got in touch with him recently, earlier this year, via Facebook, and he came back with a message which I did find a little confusing, but it was a JJ Cale graphic, and the track is Magnolia, and well, I just happened to stumble on this JJ Cale CD this morning, and there was the track Magnolia, and I suspect that I used to play it at our batch in Wanganata. So here's a track from JJ Cale's CD Naturally called Magnolia.
sweet thing.
That's J.J. Cale's Magnolia, which took on a particular significance for me during some contact on Facebook with my estranged eldest son. And it was absolutely wonderful to make connection with him. And I told him this morning on Facebook that I had identified the track Magnolia on J.J. Cale's Naturally CD. So we're talking today to Chloe Shaw about her anthology of poems called A Different Me, and give us that email address, Chloe, where you can people could get in touch with you about this collection.
Yes, it's Chloe's Poetry Book One Word at gmail.com. So Chloe's Poetry Book at gmail.com.
Right, well, let's hope that you get some more requests for
That'd
the
be
book.
Fantastic.
Is there a cost?
Yes, $35.
Right. So it says in the contents page that there will never be the same life, but there will be a life. Can you explain what that means?
Well, I look at my peers and friends and see them going to university, getting a degree, getting a job, having relationships, friendships, getting married, having children. This is where all my friends are at the moment. And I'm not anywhere near that, you know. And it's kind of hard to take. It's been a journey for me to not be bitter about it. But for me, I realise that we'll have a life, but it's just going to be different, you know. And I actually think sometimes it's unique. And also, you know, different sometimes is better. You know, it could be that my life is different but better than my peers' lives. But, you know, I've missed over the years due to my unwellness and being in hospital and things, I've missed out on weddings, family and friend events and social events at church. And it's just really hard to come to terms with the fact that I miss out on so much because of my illness.
Well, there is a saying that there's no gain without pain.
Yes.
And I think that my mental health experiences have hopefully caused me to be much more compassionate, much more caring, very much less angry, more patient. And so I think there are some gains.
Well, I find the one thing that I really hold on to is that it's making me stronger, more resilient, and it makes me sure that I can conquer any other, I like to call them storms, my episodes. If I can conquer these storms, I can conquer anything. You know, there's never going to be anything in life that God throws at me or comes to me that I can't handle because I've handled this.
Well, I had a cancer scare a couple of years ago, a melanoma scare, and what I've been through with my mental health made this relatively easy.
Yeah.
So I can understand what you're saying about that. Mm. What's the quality of your mental health care been?
Well, in the beginning, it was a bit tricky because people weren't understanding. Doctors weren't sure what was going on. I wasn't sure what was going on. So it was hard. But from Menaki House, I've had fantastic support. You know, when I first came back from Ashburn, I went into the early intervention psychosis team. And they were a great wraparound team. They had an OT, a nurse, a social worker, a doctor, a therapist, psychologist. And they were great and they wrapped me around and supported me. And then I went to Buchanan Rehabilitation Centre for about a year. And they were fantastic as well, you know, doing groups and learning skills and learning how to be independent, things like that. And then I went back to Manaaki House after that, and they've just continued to be great support. The crisis pack team are just amazing. You know, when they know me so well that they know that if I'm presenting a certain way, I need to be, that the support and the care needs to be increased. And yeah.
So, but with these sort of natural therapies like your exercise, your walking, your mm-hmm. running, the mindfulness, have you noticed any change?
Yes, I have. I think it's making me feel more positive, not taking as much medication, because I'm using my strategies instead, you know. And it's made me feel hopeful that I can get through this, and I don't need to rely on, say, medication or other things that are not so positive, you know what I mean?
I mean, do you do a lot of research about your mental health challenges?
I do a little bit, but because it's so atypical, my diagnosis, it's hard to find the kind of information out there.
Right.
But no, I do. I've read a few books, and yeah, it's just some interesting things.
You go online and perhaps...
Yeah, I do.
Now, among your 150 poems in this A Different Me, do you have a favourite that you'd like to finish the show on?
Yes, I would. It's actually the first poem in the book, and it explains why I write poems and why I share poems. So, writing is my outlet. It's the way I process, work through hard times. It started by accident, really. A nurse suggested writing about what I was experiencing, what I was going through. So I put pen to paper and just started. It started as small pieces of prose, detailing what was on my mind at the time. I enjoyed it and shared it with others. I received great feedback, encouragement to keep on writing. I then discovered the joy of writing poetry. It was hard to begin with, but over time the easier it became. Now I can put out a new poem in 10 minutes. If I find myself distressed about something, someone has hurt me, the voices are hounding me, I put on my writing cap. And the words just flow right through me onto the paper. I get pleasure from sharing my poem with others. Some like them because they're interested in learning about my experiences. Others because they give them hope to keep going. This is the ultimate desire for my poetry, for it to reach out to those who suffer distress. Let them know they are not alone. And that it is okay to talk. This is my dream, my hope. This is it.
Well, thank you, Chloe. Let's finish the interview there. A wonderful poem, and I can only urge people to take an interest in Chloe's collection of poems called A Different Me. And thank you very much, and congratulations on how you've managed this radio interview.
Thank you so much for having me, Sheldon. I've really enjoyed talking to you today.
Well, let's go out on another track from JJ Cale, and we'll play
One,
Crazy
two,
Mama. Mama,
We're gonna let it all hang out. After midnight, we're gonna chill and shine. We're gonna cause talk and suspicion. Give an exhibition. Find out what it is all about. Midnight, it's gonna be peaches.